So this morning's reading is a psalm of joy and praise. The writer reminds us that good and righteous living frees us to enjoy life, life connected with one another, and life under the shade of God's almighty hand. Hear these words with your joyful heart. Psalm 112. Praise the Lord. Happy are those who fear the Lord, who greatly delight in his commandments. Their descendants will be mighty in the land, and the generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in their houses, and their righteousness endures forever. They rise in the darkness as a light for the upright. They are gracious, merciful, and righteous. It is well with those who deal generously and lend, who conduct their affairs with justice. For the righteous will never be moved. They will be remembered forever. They are not afraid of evil tidings. Their hearts are firm, secure in the Lord. Their hearts are steady, and they will not be afraid. The word of God for the people of God. They say it'll be easier the second time, so let's see. So here we are. So let me start by saying that I love baseball. If you know me, you know that. So I'm going to... Thank you. So I'm going to use a baseball analogy for why I'm up here today. So in baseball, you have the major leagues and the minor leagues. And if you switch the word baseball for preaching, we're going to say that Reverend Tracy would be in the big show. She's a major league preacher. She is out of town this week, as Scott has said, and so she's not here. So Adam Moore, you guys know Adam, he would be our AAA preacher. He's almost to the big show, and he was scheduled to preach this morning, but he is ill. And I saw Erica somewhere. Erica, is he okay? Okay, good. All right. So he's not here. So a few weeks ago, Cheryl Smith and Rick Lightfoot stood up here to share their message with you, and they've had some ministerial training, so they put together. Their talents, and so we're going to call them AA leaguers. Okay, so they're getting up there, and they've been up here before, and they have the talent to really say really meaningful things. So I haven't any training and or experience, so let's just consider me a single A player, someone with a little skill, and they hope for the best all the time. So I'm going to imagine that you're the bleacher section, because everybody knows where the bleacher is, the best place to see what's going on. And it's game day. And consider me the pitcher for the home team. And know that I am talking to you from my heart. Please pray that I don't throw any wild pitches, because it's pretty scary up here, whether you're pitching a sermon or a baseball, to be up here on the mound. So go with that. So let's talk a little bit more about fear. When I was putting together this talk, the words fear and worry became interchangeable for many reasons. For what is the basis of most worries but some type of fear? For this morning, I want to focus on fear and how it affects all of us. And I propose to you that each one of us in this room has had felt fear on some level in the past 24 hours. No matter how confident we may be in our lives, fear is a constant threat. And I truly believe that fear is how evil manifests itself in our lives. What fear has touched your life recently? And when we think back, it can start early. For children, remember, what if so-and-so doesn't like me at, you know, on the playground? For teenagers, what if I don't get asked to the dance? Or what if I don't make the soccer team? And fears are very proportional to where we are in life. As we age, sometimes the fears seem to grow. What if I can't find a job out of college? I hear my company is downsizing. What if I lose my job? As we get older, my blood work at the doctor came back abnormal. You know, could it be cancer? Are my children safe at school? And maybe your greatest fear is the loss of love. I think losing the affection of the one you love in any relationship can be the most devastating fear to to any of us because it goes to the deepest part of you. So, now that I've doggy downers? But whatever its problems, whether it's work or an illness or a broken down car, my message is to remember that God can be with you through it all if you ask him to be. And how do we know that? And the message is spread throughout the Bible. You've heard the expression, tell them what you want to tell them, and then tell them what you told them, because you've got to hear things three times. It's like God knew that we wouldn't get it on the first try, so he kept telling us over and over and over again. Sort of like a mom telling her kids, pick up your toys, pick up your toys, pick up your toys. So once is never enough. Here's a few examples in just a short section of the Bible. Psalm 112 that we read today, my version said, in verse 7, we will have no fear of bad news. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Psalm 23, always a biggie. Verse 4, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Psalm 34, verse 4, I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. I find it kind of hard to connect with the people in the Bible. I understand their unique relationship with God and how they were special in their own time. The beauty of their message is that we can all have that type of relationship with God. Can we trust the Lord that he will hear us and we can talk to him? I believe we can. And can you trust that he's hearing you? I enjoy reading the Old Testament more than the New Testament because I'm a writer and I love novels. And I think the Old Testament reads more like a novel. One thing I've never really wrapped my head around is the thought that of God being this big booming voice on the top of the mountain that's yelling down at people and throwing lightning bolts when we've been bad. When I was growing up and beginning to grow in my faith, and that wasn't until I was in high school, my idea of God came to be more like George Burns from the movie Oh God. Cue! There he is. If you saw that way back when, and I am dating myself, God comes down to earth to meet John Denver, a quiet, unassuming store manager, to talk about some stuff he wanted John to do on earth. And John doesn't want to hear any of it. But who couldn't love God if he shows up and he looks like him, like a cute little old man who will just sit down and talk with you? So that's kind of my version of God. You know, I'm kind of getting into the Morgan Freeman thing, but not so much. It's still George Burns. So one of my favorite parts of the movie is when God and a young child, and I think that's one of John Denver's kids, I couldn't remember. I was trying to find a picture online. Is that Oh God Book 2 too? Okay, just forget that, but same thing. There's not that many pictures online of George Burns sitting and talking with a child. But anyway, thanks, Dana. Okay, I'm right here. All right. But one of my favorite parts of the movie is George is sitting and talking to a child. And contrary to what all the adults that he meets, she has no trouble believing that he is who he says he is because she has a very simple faith. And so she's sitting there and asks, why did you make the giraffe's neck so long? And he says, well, because I wanted them to be able to eat the leaves on the top of the trees. And she says, well, why didn't you make the trees shorter? And he said he had to think about that. So in my mind, God is not this all-powerful being that's busy keeping the universe together. For me, he is somebody who sits next to me, and we can talk about things. I know that sounds very simplistic, but it's true. And when I think about God like that, it's easy to remember that I am not alone. I believe God reinforces the idea he is here now in many different ways. I grew up in the Catholic Church at a time when the radical idea of having a guitar mass was almost revolutionary, and I think some of you in here kind of know what I'm talking about. I can't imagine what would happen if the praise band showed up. It was like, bar the doors. But during a CYO search weekend back in high school, I heard the song You Are Near by Dan, and I think it's Schulte. That's how you pronounce his name. And the chorus goes, Yahweh, I know you are near. You are always by my side. You guard me from the foe, and you lead me in ways everlasting. That lyric has stuck with me since I was 16 years old. when times are challenging in my life, I will find that song going through my mind. And I like to think that when I can't see past the thing that is making my life difficult, God is reminding me that this does not have to be a solitary journey. There have been days when problems seemed so overwhelming to me that and I know you know what I'm talking about, when you feel that crushing fear that you can't think rationally enough to move forward. That is when I feel most thankful for my faith. I have friends that don't have a relationship with God, and I feel so terrible for them. Even in bad times when people are trying to help them, they still feel utterly alone. And that is so sad to me because it's so unnecessary. When I have a problem that's overwhelming and I pray to God for help, I don't expect a magic wand to wave over me and everything to be perfect. But what I have found that he does give me perspective and offers me breathing room and the means to get through a situation and back to joy. I could give you many examples of people I know who share their days with God, and many of you are in here today, and life is easier because of it. I'd like to tell you a little bit about my mom, Dorothy. She was very active into her 70s, and she loved life. If she wasn't gardening, she was organizing a swap meet, or she was ringing this really big brass bell at the hockey games in Nashville and just creating havoc for the other team. She wasn't a religious person, I wouldn't say, but she was a very spiritual woman. So late in the summer, a couple years ago, she complained of her arthritis being more than usual. And when the pain became more than she could ignore, she went to the doctor because she hated her. And the verdict was end-stage lung cancer. So one of the first things she said to me, and this was within minutes of the phone call with the diagnosis, was, "It is what it is. I know where I'm going, and God is with me." As hard as that news was to take, her reaction did not surprise us. She was always a very practical woman, even where her faith was concerned. And I wear those, you'll notice sometimes I have kind of an awkward looking bracelet, but I keep those words with me always. She could have tried extensive treatments to buy time, and you would have kind of expected her to try and do that because she did love life so much. But she didn't. Her only request was pain management, and she even signed up for a clinical trial for a pain protocol because she thought that maybe something good could come out with what was happening to her. So while God is always with us, if we only ask him to be, there are also the people he puts in our path to get us through these rough times. And we were so very blessed with the people God sent to us. The research nurse who was from our hometown, many, many miles away, and who traded stories with her while we were waiting, because, you know, there's always so much waiting time in the doctor's offices. The people who brought us food, Mom decided that since she didn't have to worry about her weight anymore, that we were eating dessert first. And I fear that sometimes I do that anyway. The people who covered for me and my sister at work and at home so that we could care for her, that meant everything. And less than a month from the phone call from the doctor with the diagnosis, Mom was gone. And through this entire time, we knew that God was with us. And what a tremendous gift that was. And I can tell you that God has walked me through other hard times and provided what I needed to get back to the joy he has created in this world for me. Now remember in the beginning, I said fear and worry were almost interchangeable. In the sixth chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus shares the lessons about not worrying about learned this when we were kids. He talks about the birds in the air and the lilies of the field. You know how it goes. And I can get what he's trying to say. I have someone a little closer to home that helps me to remember this advice. I'll leave you with a little note from Stella's world. Some of you have met Stella. This is Stella with our son JD. Stella has been with us with our family for about a year now. And this may sound simple, and it is just a very simple example, but I want to have the faith in God, the type of faith in God that Stella has the faith in me. Before finding her living at the pound, it was obvious Stella had had a hard life. She She had been abandoned on the street. It is obvious that she had just had puppies, so she lost her children. The shelter worker said that she was terribly underweight when she arrived. And someone had even cut off her ears. So there was a time in her life when she didn't know where the next meal would come from or if she'd have a warm place to sleep. And being a pit bull did not help her chances for adoption. If she had been a human, she would have made a great made-for-TV movie. Because it does have a happy ending. I know that people say it's lucky she was adopted, and I know that there were more, but I know that there was more luck involved to bring us together. She has blessed each day she has been with us. She is actually she's in training to be a therapy dog with Love on a Leash. She has comforted sick people. She has made children laugh. She has given joy to so many. And some of you, occasionally when I'm up here at work, she comes and stays with me. When she looks at me, she smiles, just like that. And I like to think that that's because her faith is that I will do the right thing for her. And whether that's making her happy with a milk bone or letting her get on the couch with me under my mom's afghan, it's all good. She does not have to worry every day about everyday things because she trusts that we'll take care of her. I know the joy I have finds its base in my faith in God and his presence every day in my life. And when life gets overwhelming and the fears start to creep in, I know that if I sit down and talk with him, all will be well. It won't be perfect, but it will be well. So what trials are you facing today? Is fear stealing the joy out of your life? I hope it is not. But if it is, please take the time to sit down and have a conversation with God. Remember that conversations both involve talking and listening. Sometimes that's the hardest thing. Hear, really hear what he has to say to you, and I believe you will find the contentment you